From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armilla, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk bracketing and re-bracketing. Stick around and you'll see how words can change just by shifting a little bit this way or that. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey there, Kathy. Hey, Ross. Coming up, we will have the thrilling conclusion to last week's spelling bee for me, the 10 most commonly misspelled words in the English language. We have one left. I have no doubt it will be exciting and trip me up, but there was something else you wanted to start with, Ross?
Yeah, well, back we talked about unthaw. Do you remember that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, we said this was like usually un means not. And in this case, we said unthaw didn't. It was sort of like a kind of not even an intense fire. It was just basically just there. So we had two different things about un. One was not, and one was basically very rarely kind of just there. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Then I was talking to Kathy, and I was thinking about undead. Now, undead does not mean alive, but it doesn't mean dead either. It's a really unique use of un.
Yeah. Something that's undead is almost like something that has died and come back, or something that exists in a strange space between being alive and dead. I mean, so the undead is usually when we talk about, I guess,
a vampire.
I was going to say a vampire, because I think undead is more like vampires and walking dead or living dead. Living dead are the zombies.
Oh, no, that was the walking dead was the
yeah,
was
TV
the
show.
Zombies.
Yeah, living dead, walking dead, undead. Yeah, that's interesting.
Now, the undead to me is, it's always Dracula for me.
Yeah.
But whatever, though, it's just sort of interesting with the un, because if I said, like, he joined the undead.
Yeah.
We have a very different thing if I said, you know, he's alive again. We wouldn't work.
Right.
You know? You'd say reanimated.
Or something.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just a
Frankenstein.
Weird.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But I think linguistically it's really sort of interesting because we have like and we all instantly know undead doesn't mean
alive.
Right.
No.
Right.
And we also know, unlike unthaw, it doesn't mean
thaw.
Unthawed, it doesn't mean,
yeah.
You know.
Because undead is like a quasi. It's like a halfway.
And I was just wondering, you know, like listeners to listen to it or whatever, can you think of any other unprefix word that is not and does not either mean not or nothing? If it means something, if it is like a shade of meaning.
I'm curious.
It'd be
sort of
interesting.
I'd love to hear some people weigh in on this.
Yeah.
Unlikely. No, that's not likely. Sorry.
Not likely. Yeah. Although we could say it's unlikely anyone will find any. I could not. I'm really curious about
that
it.
That is really interesting. Yeah. I mean, because it is sort of in a sense not dead, but that's not really what we mean, because you and I aren't undead as far as I'm aware.
Well, technically.
Watch out, Fletcher. You don't know. I have to take a big draft of, blood or something, right? No, it's weird. It's weird, which goes to the word we're going to quiz you on. Weird. We're sure you know how to spell it. This is the last word.
Yeah.
But this has a really interesting, we were talking about rules in English. So let's go with weird. I know you're going to do it right. Said Ross as Fletcher does it wrong. But whatever.
We'll be kind.
Yeah.
He can edit it, Ross. He does have editing capabilities.
Yes.
Oh, and I use them. I use them. So this is the final word in the 10 most commonly misspelled words. Weird, W-E-I-R-D. Feels like
precisely.
It should be W-I-E-R-D, but then once you look at it, that does look weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with the rules of English. What's the rule about E?
I and E?
And I.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, usually we say I before E, except after C. And then I think there's there are long extensions to that with all of the exceptions.
Yeah, it was like that when sounding like A is in way, neighbor and way. And
also in weird.
Yep, and except when it makes the sound EE. We have I before E, except after C, when it makes the sound E. And then we also have the problem, not if EI is with comparatives or superlatives like fancier. And when sounded like A as a neighbor in way.
Yeah.
Kathy just says, okay, why don't we read the new rule for the to help people learn how to spell.
I want to just say, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due, because Ross wrote this rule, and it's very, very nice. I before E, except after C, when it makes the sound E, and not if it is with comparatives or superlatives like fancier. And when sounded as A, as a neighbor in way. Also, when the word is a scientific word coming from ancient Greek, also usually with an E sound. Oh, and also for other exceptions too, like C's. And abseil. And yeah. Albeit. And weird.
Yeah. So we decided we're going to publish that rule for people to learn.
I wish that Noah Webster were here right now. That's lovely.
I like you said albeit. Do you know how many people I hear say albite?
Yes, yeah. I'm sure.
And it always takes me a second to like figure out what they're talking about. And they're like, oh, yeah, they mean albeit.
Yep. I had that in college, actually. I remember that well. I said, I'll bite. And the person goes, what are you talking about? And then I thought, oh, wow, it's albeit.
I had that with Lys Estrada when I was a kid. If that was in high school, though.
Well, all right. I guess that's the conclusion of our most commonly misspelled words. People can go back and listen to last week's episode to hear that I got all of them right, I'm sure.
I just wanted to say quickly, though, that weird back in the day was spelled W-Y-R-D, which I think was a lot better.
Mm.
Going back to my Noah, I'm channeling my Noah again. Mm-hmm. I think that was much nicer.
I agree with you. I mean, when you spell it W-Y-R-D, write it down. It looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And it looks weird. It does.
Yeah,
I really like it.
It looks undead. Sorry.
But one interesting thing, too, the words in French origin usually got the I-E. And then Old English origin words like eight, way, etc. have EI very commonly, such as weird in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the eight and way obviously don't have a C in front, so they don't get us confused.
And they don't sound the same as weird.
Yeah, we would not be neighbor. No, you're right.
No. Shall we go on now?
Yes.
To a whole nother topic.
Ooh, a whole nother topic.
This is the rest. Last week, Zach from Brooklyn, we talked about Zed. This is the rest of his email, which was also compelling. And he said, another question for you, or should I say a whole nother question? Yes, that's the question. What's with that whole nother? I see it and hear it a fair amount. I'm sure it's wrong. It sounds like some fake Southernism. Is it?
I mean, this, I think I can understand why this happens pretty easily. We say another all the time, which sounds like a space nother. People know it's not, but it sounds like it. And so we can slip the word in between a and another. We do this with other words. I'm only thinking of curse words right now.
Yes.
But I mean, we do it like we slip a word into the middle of a word. It's not a completely uncommon thing to do. I try not to do it, and it bugs me when people do it. I'll bet I still do actually say it sometimes. It's just easy. It's just like when you're not thinking, that can just come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly decent way of looking at it. I don't like the word nother, though. Kath, you like it, actually. You said that.
I like a whole nother. I really like how it sounds. I think, nother was considered a variant of other.
I love that.
I mean, it was a legit.
Is that true? I love that.
Well, although it's basically a variant, though. It's not like, I don't think if you wrote it, I don't think you would be acceptable, like in most newspapers or something like that.
Well, nowadays. No. I mean, But I mean, it was, I said old variant, in fairness. Uh-huh. I did say that. So, it did go back to the 14th century. I mean, it was, you know, people said nother.
Mm-hmm.
They did, for real. And then as time went on, this is like sort of a fossil phrase thing. You've got not in the 19th century, you saw whole nother as opposed to whole, that was the phrase. And now you do not see, you know, nother without whole.
Yeah.
I don't say I want a, you do say another. Now we're going to get, now we're going to go on to this whole concept of words and ends and bracketing and so forth. Right, Ross?
Yeah, we're going to talk about re-bracketing, which is an interesting sort of concept.
Oh, this is new to me.
Now, Fletcher, you re-bracket probably a lot, or you use the results of rebracketing. Rebracketing is where you've got two words and there's like a boundary. There's one word, space, another word. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what happens when the words kind of get mushed together and one letter goes away? For example, what is that yellow, or, I mean, sorry, I can't think of the word.
A fruit that's not yellow, but almost but, reddish, but it's sort also of like yellow.
A, yeah, it's sort of like a lemon, but it's like a nicer lemon to eat. With
mandarins, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Or you have, like, instead of having lemon juice, you have this kind of citrus juice.
You're clearly talking about grapefruit. you're talking about an orange.
Right.
Correct.
Right. What do you think the original word was?
Oh, yeah. Didn't it start with an N?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Norange.
Norange. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
And now we say an orange.
Correct.
Oh, wild.
The one that slipped me out was it used to be I don't even know what they are. They're like reptiles, are they, Ross? Now we call them newts, but a back newt. Then, yeah,
it would
they
be
were
an
eats.
Oot. Yeah.
Oh. And so just
no, it's cool.
Just over time, the way we said it started to make it so that we spelled it different.
Yeah,
yeah.
An orange, and we sort of like basically heard it, and it sounds like an orange, a norange. I mean, a norange, then
that's
an orange,
wild.
And it kind of mixes together.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting because we're going to talk about Arabic words from into English, and norange actually is from an Arabic word naranj, which means it's like a bitter orange. Is naranj.
Huh. Uh-huh.
But the other one is sort of weird because in Arabic, Portugal is a regular orange, which gave the name to Portugal, which is sort of cool.
Yeah, wow.
We have those bitter oranges at all the streets here. And people that come and visit pluck them and think, ooh, and then they try to eat them.
No, they're basically for cooking or making orange marmalade or something.
Yep. But we go back to another, the another thing is another came from another.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean... originally?
The rebracketing is an other, and then it was falsely, it was rebracketed as another, and then it went back to, you know, other, etc.
But basically,
so it's confused.
Basically, we're rebracketing right now with what we're doing, saying,
well, there's
another.
Yeah.
A whole nother.
And there's backing and forthing. I mean, there are a couple of old rebracketed words.
I was just going to say that.
Like
yeah.
Nyland, narrow, which for an arrow. An ox used to be called sometimes a nox, N-O-X.
Oh.
Oak used to be noke. Napple was an apple. Nega would be egg. They got rid of all of those. But mm-hmm. some survived, and that's what we're going to go through, which ones survived the process. We go back to, we don't say napple, we say an apple. We mm-hmm. go backwards again.
Yeah, usually the N was lost mm-hmm. over time. Was like the key. So you have apron instead of napron. Numb. This one's a cool one.
That's what we should do, Kat. This one I love. Mm. Fletcher, you're a baseball fan. What is the guy who decides if it's a strike called?
Numpire?
It was.
Wow.
It'd be more numper, actually.
Oh my gosh. How far back?
Oh, because this one really got me. Because do you know the origin of that word? I thought that was really interesting.
No, I have no idea.
It comes from the non. It's for the old French. Non is no or not.
Uh-huh.
And then pair is equal. So it's in that sense, it was originally like a legal thing. It's not equal. And then it became someone who, and then it was in wrestling. And then it became someone who has to arbitrate between two competing things legally, i.e. not equal, they have to make sure they are. Isn't mm-hmm. that cool?
Wow.
Next time you go to a baseball game, you can go to the next person sitting next to you. Do you know the origin of the umpire?
Hey,
you can say it.
Hey, no.
I was going to say, hey, numpire, yeah. You're blind. What the hell's wrong with you? That's what I was thinking. I was going to say, have you ever heard the phrase eating humble pie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it used to be numble pie.
Really?
I love that one. Yeah, numble pie or umble pie, but usually numble pie.
Numble pie.
Because it was made, the original thing was made from the heart, liver, kidneys, the whole, you know, stuff that you don't want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
of a deer, which were called the numbles.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you ate the numbles in a pie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was usually given to like your lower class, your servants, your helpmates. Well, you know, the rich people were eating all the nice meat from the deer.
Yeah.
They were eating the numbles.
That is fascinating.
I like numble pie better than humble pie, frankly.
I do too. I was just thinking that we were talking. Is that still used at all? That seems like a really old fashioned statement.
Yeah,
eating humble pie.
Sure.
I'm curious.
It is.
I hear it.
Do you?
I mean, I don't use it, but I've heard it.
But I'm just wondering, would people still use it now? I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I can't see saying he's eating humble pie. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I don't think I've ever used it. I know it, but I don't think I've ever used it. That's what I'm just wondering about.
That's because you're humble. Thinking you should say numble pie, Ross, probably.
Well, I take it back. That's interesting. Looking at Google Ngram, which Kathy's going to say is not scientific because it's in books, but it peaked in 1860, and then it also peaked in 2010.
Oh, wow.
It went really down in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And then in 2008, it started skyrocketing up.
Huh.
It's weird.
Why? Okay,
I have no idea.
Days ago on Greenland, Trump eats some humble pie.
Yeah, no, apparently it's very common. It's interesting.
I don't think I've ever used it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I would use it, and I thought it was old-fashioned. But apparently a lot of people are using it. I don't think I would write it either. But, you know, it's there.
Well, if I do use it, I'm going to say numble pie.
Numble pie. Okay, this is a different kind of rebracketing first we'll do. We've talked about this before, hamburger.
Mm, sure.
This is the sort of thing where we took the Hamburg, which is a town, and, you know, or a city, and referred to something from Hamburg, which is a hamburger. But we rebracketed it, in effect, and took the burger part out.
Right.
And then chucked in something called cheese or whatever, or ham, you know, and we used a different word for it. This is not technical rebracketing, but it's playing around with cutting off things, et cetera.
Sure.
I just wanted to do a side note on burger. Have you guys seen, I think it's in the UK, where the beef producers said you can't use the word burger if it's like a veggie or
a
bean.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Oh, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
And it's been in litigation. I don't know what the judgment was. I think they decided it was okay to say burger. But I was talking about with my husband here, because I was saying, well, but you call it a burger. You're going to say bean patty? Or so you're still going to say to your friend, I'm having a veggie burger.
Yeah,
and
completely.
I was thinking just like the vagaries of language. What do you guys think about that? Because I thought that was sort of silly. I don't think burger meat. I think burger patty.
Yeah, well,
I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair at all. We're talking about the origin. The origin is basically Berg is city, and then we had an ER, which is, you know, like a person of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a word in English meaning, like you said, a hamburger patty. And I think it's fair. I don't think you can, I don't like this copywriting of words that are in general use at all.
Mm-hmm.
I can see saying something like champagne is from the Champagne region of France, and it's a region that people specifically do, but everyone's been making hamburgers for, you know, 100 years. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Wait. No.
Done.
Yes.
But I prefer medium rare. Sorry. And Ross, did we mention Temesis? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes.
Did we mention that? We did?
No.
I thought we just said bracketing.
No, go mention it. No. Go mention it.
It was back at the beginning with a whole nother. And Fletcher, you had said, when we talked about cutting things apart, you could think of the not family friendly
oh, sure.
cutting apart of words. Abso effing lutely,
yeah,
that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, yeah, that is, because rebracketing is an aspect of that. That's called temesis. Is that correct,
yes.
Ross? I worry about my pronunciation. And it's you're separating a compound word by shoving another word in the middle of it.
Mm.
And it comes from the Greek, a cutting. And that one always gets me, because I still remember as a kid, Gene Donnelly, who was able to do abso effing lutely or whatever when I was in junior high, and I was so impressed. Yeah, I can't do it to this day. I'm incapable of this.
That yeah, some people can really do it. They can really flip it into. I agree with you, Kat. Mm. I can do the abso one easily because yeah, I've heard it so many times. But they can do like a lot of words and shove it in.
I can't
do it.
Yeah,
no.
I stutter. My brain. And it's like never mind. So I'm clean.
Yeah. Temesis. That's interesting. I never really knew that had a... I mean, of course it has a term. Everything has a term, but I've never learned about that before.
Fletcher mentioned last week, I think, algorithm. And we were talking about how the rebracketing occurred. And this is a case where, not rebracketing, but the or the kind of got slunged onto the word. These are words from Arabic where Arabic will use the X, Y, or Z thing. And then in English or in other languages, the kind of got shoved in and people think the whole word is like Alhambra. Kathy lives right near the Alhambra.
Okay, no, we never say Hambra, Ross. It's Alhambra.
Alhambra. Okay, I don't know. But okay.
Sorry.
But the Al there is actually the.
Oh, so when you said the Alhambra, you should have just said Alhambra because Al is the.
Is what, well, we got an email ages ago, actually, when we first started doing the show, and I said something about the Alhambra, and a very nice gentleman emailed and said, oh, it should be Alhambra, all is the blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. I'm like, I live here. It's called the Alhambra.
You know? Yeah, that one really gets me. I think it's really silly because you're basically, we've taken the word, and now it means something in the language that we speak. I mean, in Arabic, for example, Hamra means the red. So Alhambra would mean the red. Mm. But, you know, but we're not saying, we don't see it as the red.
Yeah, you know, this is slightly different. It doesn't have the in it, and it's maybe a little more controversial, but we talked a couple weeks ago about au jus, right? We talk about the au jus.
Right. Right.
And the au jus technically is is not correct, but like no. Au jus is now, going back to brackets, I guess, is now sort of a bracketed thing. Au jus is the thing, and so you put the in front of it. I mean, you can. Yeah. You can.
It's called juncture loss,
because
it's usually articles that you're losing. Mm-hmm. But the one that drives me crazy, Ross and I have talked about this, is hoi polloi. Because hoi polloi we use is hoi polloi. It's right. Like the hoi polloi.
Uh-huh.
But actually, it should be just hoi polloi.
Yeah, because the hoi means the, and then polloi means many. So the many.
The many.
But I don't see, but again, though, like, you know.
I agree.
I know Greek, and I know, you know, what that they're saying, but this is not a Greek word anymore. This is an English word. Mm-hmm. The hoi polloi is English. And we can put the in front easily without any problem. I also hate that when people go Magna Carta, because Latin doesn't have old Latin doesn't have a definite article. So in Latin you'd write Magna Carta without the. But like, and a lot of times old sort of stuffy old English books will go, you know, when King promulgated Magna Carta. And it just,
I hate that.
Yeah,
I agree
it's
with
terrible.
You, Ross. That just sets my teeth on edge, actually. And I always think they're just being like, you know, poncy farts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree completely. Well said, Kat.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, things become English words that look exactly like the old Greek words or whatever, but they are now English words. And so, yeah, it makes sense that we could... put a the in front of them because we don't all know Greek or Arabic or whatever.
No. And we shouldn't. We don't need to.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to, we can. But we don't need to. Right. And I think we can go on.
I was going to say, the one that fascinated me was alcohol. I never knew this because Ross was the one who said this. It comes from the Arabic. And again, it's a the and a word.
Interesting.
That we've, it's alcohol. Alcohol.
Alcohol.
How do you say that?
Alcohol. Actually, let me look. Let me just see. Because it means a distillate. The cool means a distillate. But again, it's the, again, in front of it.
But you definitely don't have anybody running around correcting you on that one. I mean, anybody will say the alcohol. Nobody's going to tell you you shouldn't say the.
No.
Exactly.
But I hope not.
No, and I think that's fine. I mean, that's one thing that does really get me when people insist on pronouncing it as, you know, as they do, or making sure you're using they. Although I remember as a kid, I was learning Spanish in school and I said Nueva New York and dad said it's Nueva York in Spanish. I said, no, it's Nueva New York. I could not get the idea. You can see where I was going, not too high. Oh, I should say it's cool in Arabic. I forgot that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we're going to go to another word, other Arabic words. Algorithm. Could you have any idea where this comes from, Fletcher. If you do, you win the award of the century.
Arabic. This one comes from Arabic.
Yes. The first part, A-L, we now know means what?
The. Yeah. Grithm. No, of course I have no idea.
This is so mangled. It comes from a guy, Al-Khwarizmi.
Whoa.
Who was from Khwarizm, which is a modern Kiva in Uzbekistan. And he was a mathematician who worked with algebra, another Arabic word.
Mm-hmm.
And it became kind of, they mangled the name up, and it was algorism for a while in old French, and then it came anything. Then it became what
my.
We know. The guy was actually Persian, Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi, but whatever.
Speaking of algebra.
Uh-huh.
Have at it, Fletcher.
Yeah, well,
you're never going to get it.
No, of course not. I mean, I admit almost complete ignorance on Arabic, which is to my own detriment, I think. But no, I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, help.
Okay,
Ross.
It comes from the Arabic word al-jabr, which means restoring broken parts.
Oh, neat.
Where you're putting together things. You're putting together
Arabic
things.
Is a really beautiful language. It's got that nice flow in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is. The early Arabic poetry is really gorgeous. But it's also easy because you can have, in classical Arabic, you have you can put endings on so you can like rhyme really easily and flow beautifully.
Mm.
Okay, Ross, I'm going to ask you to pronounce this. I have here that the earliest
al-Muqtasar
fi Hisab
al-Jabr
wal-Muqabalah record in Arabic in the title of this book, translatable as the Compendium on Calculation by Restoring and Balancing,
yes,
by the 9th century mathematician Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi. Ah, good for me. Okay, Ross, have at the title.
Kath, I'm going to have a trouble with that. I'm going to get I think it's al-Muqtasar fi Hisab al-Jabr wal-Muqabalah.
That's cool.
Well, whatever. I don't know.
So where's the algebra?
Al-Jabr.
Ah,
Al-Jabr, right there.
Al-Jabr.
Yeah, Al-Jabr.
Ah. It's spelled A-L-J-A-B-R, so it throws me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one's very interesting, too. This one really was interesting. Admiral.
That's from Arabic, huh?
You bet.
You betcha.
That's not Arabic. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I'm not going to have a clue on any of these, but it doesn't start with the al this time.
Well, it might not. It comes from the Arabic word amir, and I'm sure you know amir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know that one.
You know, like the commander, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then we have al amir, so we do have the probably.
Oh yeah.
Or it could, but we're not quite sure because without the al, there's still an a there anyway.
Yeah.
So it could be, but basically it comes from al-amir, and then there's a debate in Arabic. Al-amir bahr would be commander of the sea, which could have been used, you know, when people were fighting at the sea, and they could have heard that when you're fighting across the Mediterranean. Or it could be al-amir al-umara, which would be the kind of the emir of emirs,
yeah,
which could be, it was apparently a title used in Sicily when Sicily is a really interesting place because Arabs invaded it, and then Normans invaded it, so mm-hmm. it sort of got a mixture of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be from either both of those.
Wow. There's so much language smashing up against other language, isn't that?
I know. Man. It's really
isn't
interesting.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Oh, I should add, though, the D probably, they're saying, was an allusion to admire, a classical Latin word, which is interesting.
Oh, wow.
They shoved the D in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What gets me living here is, I mean, because obviously there's so much Arabic, it currently, you know, around. There's a lot of Arabs actually around. But I think that more than in the U.S., you just see the blend,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's quite shocking because I'm so oblivious, I think, as a normal, you know, walking around person to realize how much in English we go back to is from the Arabic. And I hear it here, and then I hear it in Spanish, and then I get how it got it. Then I get the English. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think that also leads to something. I think when you're a real purist in English, it's really hard to justify in some ways because the language is, I mean, English is wonderful in terms of like grabbing up other words, other ideas,
oh, yeah,
etc. So like, what is pure English? I mean, I heard someone the other day go, I want to speak pure English. Like what is pure English, you know?
No such thing. This next word is one because I hear it here, artichoke.
Hmm.
Artichoke came from the Arabic.
Mm-hmm. Kath, how do you pronounce it in Spanish?
And oh God, alcachofa, I think. Alcachofa.
Okay, that's that's interesting. Yeah.
Randy is the one, since he's the chef in the family, who knows all the food words. I'm like, I just eat alcachofa. I think so. See.
Yeah, it would be in Arabic. It would be a khrshuf. No one's really quite sure the origin of that, but it comes from the Arabic in that sense.
But again, it's the and something, is
yeah,
it not?
Definitely.
The al, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The next one's really interesting. Apricot.
Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yes. You, do you remember?
When, we did.
When we brought up the word apricity, Kathy wanted to know.
Yes.
If it was related to apricot.
I want to see if Fletcher remembers the word. Yep, you're right.
I don't.
abrigot. No, I don't remember exactly what it was. Something along those lines.
In Arabic, it was al-barkuk.
Al-barkuk, yeah.
Right. Which sounds, you can see how it came easily.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And in Spanish, it's al-barkuke.
Oh, yeah, really? Oh,
it's there.
Wow.
Now, the weird thing is in Arabic now in Egypt, I always like, this is my favorite word. I think I mentioned it the last time, is mishmish.
Oh yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. You did say that.
Yeah. And then people like yeah, get out of here. You go tomorrow, bokra fil mishmish. I always love that same phrase.
Ooh, what is
get
that?
Out of
repeat
here. That. Well, tomorrow the apricots, bokra fil mishmish.
Bokra fil mishmish.
Mishmish, yes.
I'm gonna use that when I go to the frutteria here because they're all Arabs there.
Yeah, but don't. That's sort of annoying to say. Yeah, you're not being.
Like,
you know.
Sounds like it's not very nice.
Well, I mean, it's not a. You know, you're not saying like hi. You know, like that.
Oh well, never mind. Forget it.
I mean, it's sort of sarcastic, so I guess you could say it. Like, if he goes, actually, you could say it like this. Like, if he goes, boy, we're going to have great weather tomorrow, you could say, yeah, bokra fil mishmish, in the sense of, like, it's not going to happen. It's improbable.
Yeah, right is really what it means. Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a nice way.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. Okay. The next word, we've talked about this, I believe, is assassin. Assassin.
Mm.
You might know this one, Fletcher.
Yeah. We may have talked about this, but I do. I have also read about it. I don't know exactly if, like, the history is completely right or if there's debate about what the history is. But assassins were, like, supposed to be, like, hopped up on hashish or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all hashashin.
Hashish eaters.
Yes.
I like this one, actually, because it's a story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but no one, we're not really sure this is true. That's the problem with it.
But I like it anyway.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the one problem we do get, and we get this a lot when we're looking at word origins, is people love to make stories up about words, and they're fun. Usually the words are more fun that way than, I mean, this is generally the idea when they're like a fanatical Muslim sect in the mountains of Lebanon, and they were high, you know, on hashish, and they would go out and kill people. There's no real evidence that this is true. It's interesting, though.
It seems to me if they did this in the 13th century or whatever, and they told the story, I'm going to believe it because it's not now.
Because it's not now.
I'm buying it.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.